If you want to listen to this episode ad-free, head over to our Patreon, subscribe, and you can also find some extra exclusive content there.
And this episode is brought to you by Hokkaido Guide, established over 10 years ago, written by locals, for locals and international tourists. The guide contains information on all types of businesses and locations around Hokkaido. There's information regarding all things Hokkaido, such as sightseeing, nightlife, events, services, food and restaurants, entertainment, outdoor activities, and much, much more. That's a nice whiskey, isn't it, Ben?
It's a very nice whiskey.
Currently offered in English and Thai, advertising space is available. Check out the website for everything you need to know about this beautiful prefecture, HokkaidoGuide.com.
1, 2, 3.
And, we're drinking whiskey, the Fujisan, 40 degrees.
Yes.
What's so special about this whiskey?
This Burke? Whiskey was received after I donated some of my tax money to some prefecture down there near Mount Fuji. It's made by the water or through with the water of Mount Fuji. It even says it right there.
Clean water? Would it be?
I don't know. It just says made with natural spring water of Mount Fuji. So
it's just one of the sinks.
Yeah.
Furusato Nozei, you got it through, right?
Yeah, Furusato Nozei, the tax donation program. It's blended whiskey, so it's probably the least amount of one of the whiskeys was made with some water from Mount Fuji.
So it's got a soft taste.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
It's got a little bit of vanillary essence going on there.
I still don't really get Furusato Nozei. I know you talk about it every tax season, Burke, and it's supposed to save tax somehow. And I guess it's, you know, kind of good timing because it is tax season.
Yeah,
I just did mine.
I don't know if it's like a straight one-to-one like deduction, but basically taxes that you would have owed to either Hokkaido Prefecture or the national government will get reduced because of your donations to these other prefectures.
Hmm.
So it's like money you would normally be paying one place, you're just paying somewhere else and you're getting a free gift with it as well.
Okay, yeah. I see. Yeah. So why that prefecture?
They were offering whiskey.
What do the other prefectures offer?
Gotten some pillows, gotten some fruit, gotten some meats.
A friend of mine, he just got some box of apples from Aomori.
Oh,
and
nice.
He just got loads, so he was just giving them away to everyone. Obviously, Aomori's famous for their delicious apples.
Craft beers we've got.
So money goes into their kind of economy and they give you something.
Yeah, but apparently it's like one or a few prefectures are always giving the best gifts, so they've ended up like taking over this whole system, so they're trying to reorganize it. But man, I must say, you're looking a little sad today. Is it some sad news about...
I don't want to talk about it, man.
Missed
my chance. I know Ben's depressed.
It's all over the news here.
It's probably the biggest news in Japan,
ever in the history of the planet, wouldn't you say?
It was massive, right? Like even people that weren't interested in baseball were talking about it. It was on every news station. Yeah, I guess if you haven't heard already.
To be honest, Ben, I don't really give a shit too much about it.
No, me neither. But I guess we should mention it. It's big news in Japan. Otani Shohei got married.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Shit.
Matt was just trying to head for the windows here. Talk him out of it again.
Try and stop me next time. I am really disappointed, like a lot of females are.
But you had some interesting news. You knew about who she married. Well, I know who he married.
I hooked him up.
Cupid.
Well, somebody told me that. Who told me? Somebody told me. A Japanese lady told me that he has married a basketball player. Quite a tall one.
Like a professional basketball player?
A professional Japanese basketball player. And that's it. He's tall. She's tall. They're going to have tall kids.
I don't know why everybody wants the tall kids, man.
Why is Otani so special, Benjamin?
Well, he is a pitcher and a batter, and he's really good at both of them.
Right, so what would you call them? He's like the, what's that movie?
I don't know, there's a word for
with
that kind
Robert
of player,
Redford.
Two-way.
a two-way.
Isn't that a column, a two-way player?
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Are any of us baseball fans here? I'm not a fan.
Not really.
No.
Not really. But he's apparently the greatest thing since, well, even greater than Babe Ruth, right?
Yeah.
And the Japanese people, they love their famous people overseas. They'll get behind him 100%. So.
Highest paid athlete in history.
$700 million.
For 10 years, somewhere?
I don't know.
After the first 100 million, how many do you really need? I mean,
yeah, exactly. He should just, you know, break his fingers and go, oh, I can't play anymore.
Well, he's actually injured, so he's not pitching this season. He's only batting.
Yeah.
Still getting...
The Natural. That's that movie, The Natural.
That was
Robert
a good
Redford.
Movie.
Yep.
Never seen it, but take your word for it.
It was good.
Based on a guy who was very talented baseball player and who was shot by a woman, apparently. What's been going on? I got some news about that stabbing last week.
Oh, the convenience store stabbing in Northern Sapporo.
Yeah. I mean, your heart goes out to the victims and the families. And
just sudden crazy stuff.
The guy who actually died, he was off. He was filling in for somebody that day.
He was the 40-year-old?
Yeah, it was his day off and he came in to help out. Like, poor bugger.
Just being a nice guy.
So I think he was the one, he was even working in the back or something.
Yeah, right.
Back of the store.
So, yeah, sad stuff, man. I got some other news about vending machines.
Oh, I love vending machine news. Sorry. Got a little excited there. Vending machines, man.
Apparently, they're selling Coca-Cola plates and
plates.
Yeah, it's a Disney paraphernalia at a vending machine just outside of near Sapporo on the subway station.
Have you seen it?
It's a lot of weird stuff in there. You know, when you're walking past and you just, hey, I want a Coca-Cola plate.
Oh, where is it? Is it near the gate?
Actually, it's now near the bus center.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There's some three or four weird vending machines. And, and I also met this dude who found the old elusive panty vending machine.
In Sapporo?
No, in Kawasaki.
So they do exist.
They do exist,
yeah.
According to this guy. Wow. It's in the underground walkway. Oh, Ben's getting his ticket already. Kawasaki train station on the west side. Underground walkway. That's what he told me. So if anybody living in Kawasaki, go check it out and report back to us.
Wait, did he tell you or you asked for specific directions? West side or east side?
No, yeah, I know. He said he found one. And I was like, really? Where is it? And he told me and I wrote it down so I could tell all you listeners and you guys.
Good.
Where you can get some.
I've never seen one. And you always hear these rumors,
or urban myths,
right? Yep. But they do exist, according to your source.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the strangest one I've seen is a just a soy sauce bottle selling vending machine. Yeah, that's the strangest one I've seen. How about you guys?
Soy sauce.
I haven't ventured to find the strangest ones in Siskino. Imagine maybe there is.
Well, there's a yakitori one I think we spoke about in North 24. So, kushidori.
Cooked or like frozen?
It's frozen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, kushidori started doing one in North 24. Haven't actually seen it, but I saw the news article.
Was that a pandemic thing or something? Or?
It might have been. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm wondering if it's still there. I've seen some zangi ones, fried chicken ones. But yeah, that's about it. Nothing too strange. But soy sauce is a bit.
Yeah,
is it like sachets of soy sauce?
No, it's like bottles. Is that what a sachet is, a bottle?
A sachet would be like a little packet, like a plastic.
Oh, no. It's like a full, large proper bottle. Yeah, it's right over, actually, just a few blocks from here. So,
Haven't you walked around once and gone, shit, I need some soy sauce?
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
A bottle, big bottle of soy sauce.
I mean, it goes down, makes the medicine go down. Speaking of food-related items, last week we did talk about food that we...
have been getting into since we came to Japan.
Yeah,
maybe?
And it's one of our Patreon guys. Yeah, Mark, he sent us the questions. There's one I completely missed out on last week, and I think we should address it, is the old onigiri.
No.
Ball?
Yeah, the rice ball.
Yeah, love it.
I think that's something I really eat now a lot. Actually, I had one today.
From the combinis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you make them?
No.
At home?
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So sometimes for lunch, I'll make like usually a salmon onigiri.
How would you make a salmon? So a rice ball is rice wrapped in seaweed with whatever you want to put in the middle. I mean, my go-to, let me guess your go-to at the convenience store. Oh, it's probably something weird if it's you, isn't it, Ben?
No, I like the standard tuna mayo.
Yeah, tuna mayo. Yeah. Tuna mayo.
But at home,
chicken.
Sea
chicken, man.
I don't really understand that. Does anyone know the story behind the sea chicken?
Tuna is chicken of the ocean.
Chicken of the sea.
Has it always been like that?
Chickens that live in the sea are called tuna. That's what it is.
Yeah. But I never had a rice ball until I came to Japan.
All right. And
they're a staple thing. You know, you're on the run, you go hiking, you don't buy a sandwich or a sanger, you don't buy a rice ball.
Easy way for people back in the day to take some food out into the field.
Yeah, 110 yen looking at for a thing. You just got to figure out how to unwrap it in the steps.
I will say it's pretty tricky how they get it to cleanly wrap and unwrap.
Unfold.
Yeah.
It's good that they actually number the steps for you on the onigiri.
How many steps are there, Ben?
Three, I think.
300. It's three steps. You got to pull the middle part down, then you slide up the left side, then you slide up the right side.
Oh, so you're talking about a triangular onigiri. There are also tubular onigiris where you
round just, ones, you mean?
Yeah, roundish.
Oh, and plus
cylindrical.
Plus the cylinder ones.
Oh, as in like the almost like a wrap or a sushi roll.
Yeah, sushi roll.
I haven't actually had one of those.
Really?
From a combini.
Those you got to pull and then you got to fold it back.
They're quite hard.
Yeah, easy to rip. Easy to rip the nori, the seaweed on those ones. Yeah, you've never had a cylindrical.
Not from the konbini.
Right.
I've had it in like sushi restaurants, like a tempura roll or something like that. But not from the konbini.
You should try it after this.
Maybe I will
do it.
How many steps are there for opening?
Two,
those?
I think.
Oh,
well, you got to pull that off, then you got to
roll it,
unroll it a little
then
bit.
Flip the other,
rip that off,
and then you roll it back.
That, yeah, so three
I've
or
seen
four,
Burke
man.
Just give up and eat it with the
plastic. Yeah, with the plastic.
Well, hey, Jim Ferrer, right?
Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Burke's crying.
I give up.
His sushi's on the floor. I can't do it.
Look, we're all eating microplastics daily, anyways. Why not just add a little to the diet?
But if you're looking for a nice little snack, I highly recommend the tuna mayo. Convenience store or
do you ever try something different?
No,
the salmon, the tuna mayo. I guess
unless they're sold out of the tuna mayo, then I'll go for the ikura. The
eggs. You like that? You like the fish?
I love eggs, man.
Wow. Yeah, I have different ones. I have the okaka, bonito, a little bonito. It's not what Matt was hoping for in the Spanish language. I have natto onigiri sometimes.
Not
have the negitoro. Negitoro is good.
What's negitoro? Onion? Something?
Little onions, green onions, and what's like kind of grated toro. What's toro again?
Tuna?
Tuna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sea chicken.
Yeah, sea chicken.
Yeah, I mean, some of the kanji I can't read, so I don't really want to. I've had a couple of non-regular ones and not
disappointed.
It's, yeah, it's like a box of chocolates, you know.
Can be hit.
You're going to get inside.
Hit or miss for sure. Yeah. Onigiri is definitely a big part. And so you're saying you eat those now, but you had not before you came to Japan.
Well, I don't think they have them in Australia, really. I could be wrong.
I've never seen them in England before. Yeah. America?
No, but I had them from my mom and stuff. Yeah. Those were good.
Represent.
Those were good.
All right, what are we talking about today?
My tattoos.
Yeah, Matt's. I think that's what kind of made me decide to choose this article. I assumed that Matt would have one because he looks like a rock star, plays in a
band.
What
do you mean?
Plays
look
bass.
Like I am a rock star.
Yeah, but you don't have tattoos. Don't all rock stars have tattoos?
I might have a tattoo. You just don't know. We've been to an onsen together, Ben. You didn't check me out. Disappointed about that. No, we have. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe just like hiding from you. Didn't want you to see me. So you don't have a tattoo, but
I do not. And to be honest, like I'm getting kind of older, so
you want to get it?
It's too much trouble to go through now to get a tattoo, but you're thinking of getting one.
Yeah, I'm going to get a whole thing done.
What are you thinking of getting?
Well, I've traveled a lot. I like to get, you know, do something Celtic with Chinese. Something to represent my culture.
I thought you were going to get like a picture of me and Ben on your right chest.
I am.
Vig.
Vig for life.
I'll do it for you.
No, I got some ideas.
All right.
Well, so what's going on with this? What's going on with tattoos in Japan?
There are 11 things or facts that you probably didn't know about tattoos in Japan. I mean, what do you guys know about tattoos?
They're mafia. Everybody who has a tattoo is a mafia person.
Yakuza only.
What is the Japanese word for tattoo? There's a couple of ways. There's a few, actually.
What's the word for ink?
For ink? Sumi? Are you talking about sumi?
I'd say something with sumi in the word.
Half of a word is zumi. So right. the first part is a irezumi.
Okay. Irezumi. No, put in the ink.
Put in the ink.
Yeah. Then there's also a shise.
Right.
Shise.
And the last one is horimono.
Horimono.
Yeah.
I think some people say tattoo. Needle tattoo. Thing.
Yeah, there's also they have tattoo as well, which is obviously borrowed from English, a loan word.
Okay.
Yeah, I think horimono is actually the kanji is carving. So it's a carved thing, basically. Yeah.
So there's all different ways to write the word tattoo in kanji.
I mean, it said that shisei is just off the top of my head. If I remember, shisei is a literary term for Japanese tattoo, as it stems from a short story called Shisei. That's just what I think.
what's the ones that the gangsters have tattoo? There's a name for that, right? Where they get the whole body one. Do you remember that?
Oh. Somewhere in here. It's not Irezumi.
It's not Irezumi, but it's...
Even though I think when you say Irezumi, most Japanese people think of like Yakuza tattoos, but what was it called in here?
While you're looking that up, do you know there was a an artist, not an artist, but a...
Horishi.
Horishi is the Japanese tattoo.
Oh, sorry. That's the person who does the tattoo. Oh, sorry. You were saying?
Yeah, sorry, Burke.
Yeah.
No, this guy was documenting Yakuza tattoos, and then this is in the 50s or 60s, I think. And then
Wabori.
That's the name for the Japanese Yakuza
tattoo, yeah.
Wabori.
Yeah. So there was somebody...
Yeah, and he eventually, he said to the guys, can I have your skin when you die?
Oh, really?
What? So these Yakuza guys would donate their skins. And then he hung up their skins for people to go have a look at because he saw them as work. They are works of art.
And they're making a movie called Silence of the Lambs.
Put the lotion in the basket. Pretty interesting.
Really? Wait, so he has, how many skins did he have? Like a roomful?
he's like collecting them.
The collector, his name.
The skin collector.
So this guy is collecting dead Yakuza men's
skin.
Dr. Fukushi Masaichi. He was a tattoo doctor. He began his tattoo research in 1907, and his biggest interest was bodysuits, and he paid people who were willing to donate their skin after they died for his research. There's some pictures of him. Man.
Maybe
he collected 2,000 tattooed human pelts and documented them with over 3,000 photos. A lot of these pelts, how do you use that word? Were lost in air raid bombings in 1945. And he lost more of it than they were. He carried them in a suitcase in Chicago, and his suitcase was stolen.
Oh, my gosh.
Imagine stealing that, and then you... Hey.
Was that like an intentional steal or just an accident?
Well, I don't know. Despite the losses, at least 105 pieces remain intact and are set up in the Medical Pathology Museum of Tokyo University. The collection isn't available to be viewed by the public. It's A bit like your hobby, isn't it, Ben? You like to collect trophies, as you like to call them.
Trophy wives?
Would you donate your skin back?
For this guy collecting skins, I already have.
For Ben.
There's a sign-up sheet. You guys didn't put your name on the sign-up sheet?
If you really want to be the third-tier Patreon, you can donate your skin. Oh, anyway,
yeah, you would, wouldn't you? Like, who else is going to keep your skin anyway? Might as well give it to someone.
That's true. You never know. Like, if you're Yakuza and donate your body to science, you never know. Could go there.
Well, anyway, so there are 11 facts. So the first one we just talked about, multiple ways to say tattoo in Japanese.
And that thing too, that article you were just reading, kind of called that person a doctor perhaps, or he maybe was or was not a doctor. I thought you were talking about he was the guy giving you tattoos, because the last one on this list of 11 facts is that it used to be required by the Ministry of Health to have a medical license to give tattoos in Japan from 2001 to 2020. So this just finished recently, and they were very strict about who could give tattoos. But back in 2017, somebody actually got sued for giving tattoos. Taiki Masuda down in Osaka, because he did not have a medical license. But they consider that case a driving force for the Supreme Court in Japan to overturn the medical license requirement in 2020. So there you go. I can give you your tattoo if you really want it.
Sure thing. Give me some more of that whiskey first.
There you go.
Yeah.
Number two, yes, on the list, the history of tattoos in Japan may date back thousands of years.
No doubt.
So according to the Wajinden, which is a historical Chinese chronicle from the 3rd century about the inhabitants of ancient Japan, men both large and small in Japan had tattooed faces and bodies. It's also speculated that this tattooing custom might have been around even earlier. There just aren't any older records that can confirm it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at the Ainu up here. They have facial tattoos. I think the women tattooed their lips kind of into like a, looks like a smile or something. They had hand tattoos.
Well, that was number three, yeah. Okay. Tattoos had cultural significance in Hokkaido and Okinawa for centuries.
Okay. Or Ryukyu. That Okinawa used to be called Ryukyu Kingdom. There you go, Ben.
Before Japan conquered and took over it.
Yep.
What do you guys think of the lip tattoos of these indigenous women shown here?
Ainu women.
Yeah. They're pretty interesting, Ainu, don't they?
Ainu. I mean, it's a little bit like Joker style. I know that's what you were thinking. I'm just saying what you were thinking, man. I'm saying what you're thinking. I mean, definitely different cultures. Cultural differences, I would say, a little bit.
Was it kind of to symbolize beauty, right, around the lips and the hands? They were also an important symbol of a woman's marital status.
Yep. Yep.
And were believed to be necessary for the afterlife.
Yeah, but I think that a lot of those customs were suppressed by the Japanese. Would they be coming back in now, I wonder? We'll have to ask Matt Cotter about that one.
Well, they have the new Ainu Museum, Opopoi, in Hokkaido, that kind of opened a couple of years ago, I think, now.
Which is has some good points and bad points, I guess, about it.
What else do we have? Number four, woodblock prints inspired a tattoo phenomenon during the Edo period.
Right.
Ukiyo-e, the woodblock prints. Those are actually, really famous. See these in a lot of souvenir shops, or at least imitations of famous ones. Mm. These are the well-known.
Ukiyo-e, woodblock print.
It's just that traditional Japanese sort of style, isn't it?
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
A lot of people get their sleeves done,
in that kind of style.
Yep.
Sleeves meaning both of their arms fully tattooed,
or one sleeve,
or one sleeve.
I know a few buddies have their arms done.
Do they have the this kind of style,
yep.
the ukiyo-e?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Japanese people or Westerners?
No, two foreign guys. Actually, three foreign guys I know.
Can you say, I know you don't want to talk too much about your ideas before you get it done, but is it more of the Western style or the Japanese style that you're considering?
Maybe a bit of a mix.
Oh, fusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what made you kind of decide to do that?
Cause I've been wanting to do it for ages, just keep that.
Ages as in since you're an adult or since you were a kid?
I don't know, about 10 years, I guess.
Oh, definitely.
But I've always wanted, I like to roll my sleeves up in the summer.
Oh, and wear vests, I've noticed as well, Matt, recently. Oh, yeah, in the summer.
No. Vests?
Yeah. Wife beaters.
Oh, singlets, you mean?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You wearing singlets?
Yeah.
Singlets, what?
He's Australian. They all wear singlets, don't they? Or wife beaters.
Oh,
you seen Hugh Jackman in Wolverine?
Oh, you call the that tank top a singlet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a singlet in my vocabulary only refers to a wrestling singlet.
Like a onesie.
Yeah, a onesie. Which I used to wear during wrestling season, but I don't wear them daily like you. That's why I was curious. Right?
You don't wear wife beaters or
no? Singlets?
Is wife beater still used? It's a bit off, isn't it? Now?
It's used in England a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I guess 15 years ago when I was there. I don't know about these days.
I don't know if in the US they still use it, but yeah, it used to be the only way to refer to
it. A bit of an off name, isn't it?
Oh, well, it has to be back. White.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A white vest.
Yeah.
Vest.
No, a vest is a thing you button up.
Yeah.
So, so you called it a singlet. No, yeah. Bert calls it a singlet. You called it a
singlet. No, he called it a singlet. I call it a tank top.
Tank top. Yeah, sorry. I call them tank tops.
I call it a wife beater. Yeah.
Okay. Well, a tank top. Anyway, let's move on. Tank top and a singlet's a little different.
So you want to show off your arms a bit more.
Yeah.
To
show off the guns.
Hide them under a lot of
ink. Muskets. Man,
is that what you're going to get?
Let me load these.
You're going to get a lot of some muscle tattoos on your arms. Is that what you're going to get?
Yeah, so I guess the most common one is tattoos are often associated with the Yakuza. To this day, there is a common association between having a tattoo in Japanese society and the Yakuza
misconception.
Dating from the tattooing of criminals during the Edo period.
Right.
As the Yakuza continued to operate underground, they demanded a sense of loyalty and dedication amongst those involved. One way for Yakuza members to prove their loyalty was by receiving tattoos that covered a large part of their bodies. Since this required time, patience, and tolerance of the pain.
Not anymore. People just get, get the old
henna tattoos.
No, like you're sporting right now on your face.
Decals. Just decals.
Just decals. No, people are getting
prints.
Tattoo removal?
No.
Anesthetic?
Anesthetized, going under for a few hours.
People do that now.
Yeah.
To get tattoos.
It's not cool, Ben.
Is that why you decided to finally get one?
With the pain? But, I mean, if you're not doing that, you get it done in steps. These guys get...
all in one go.
In one big hit.
Wow.
Yeah. Rich people, I guess.
It must be quite painful. I guess
Not if you're knocked out, but I guess...
Yeah. But most people don't do that, right? Is that like a new thing?
It's not a rite of passage. Shouldn't you
exactly man.
Only do it that way?
Yeah. My missus got a few.
Without anesthetic. Of course.
My missus has got a few tattoos.
Yeah. I mean, well, the image of a tattoo is usually a tough guy. So if you're going to, put up with that pain, then, you shouldn't use anesthesia.
No,
yeah.
You shouldn't.
But that's the reason why I don't want to do a tattoo, because it hurts.
Hurts you. Yeah.
Boo-boos on your skin.
In the past, though, these apparently they were used for criminals, right, in Japan, back in the Edo period, putting characters like a big X or one of the kanji characters to show what crime you had committed. Matt, what kind of symbol are we going to put on your forehead? Oh, yeah, and they would get tattooed on the forehead.
Really?
Yeah.
To show what crime they'd committed.
Yeah.
And just tell everyone, just to kind of put fear into people's eyes. Yeah.
So remember to tell them not in this area of your forehead. You can if you want to. A lot of people do that these days.
Right? Tattoos on the forehead,
the brow tattoo,
Yeah.
Oh, like women, you mean?
Wow.
Oh,
who don't want to lose their eyebrows?
I'm talking about like a sort of little
eyebrow tattoo.
Above the eyebrow. Ben.
Above the eyebrow.
Mm. Well, the eyebrow tattoo is pretty common in Asia, right?
Mm. I knew a couple of students that had the eyebrow tattoo. So I think because they didn't like their eyebrows, it was too thin.
So they shaved it off and then just tattooed it.
Yeah. So they'd have to keep shaving.
I'd get one that went up just one side. So,
to make you look angry.
Should go all the way around.
Request the rock.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, the rock. So I'm always looking.
Can you raise one eyebrow, Ben?
Is that you trying?
Try right now. Is it working?
But maybe that's a cool thing now. I mean, they're remaking The Crow, that movie, and pictures of the new Crow guy. He's got one of those tattoos.
Who's playing Brandon Lee?
The guy who played It.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who played It?
The guy who's in the new Crow movie. Skarsgård, Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, all right.
He looks kind of stupid. He's got a mullet in this Crow remake.
A white guy playing an Asian. Oh, it's a Western version of The Crow. Is that what it is? What's happening now?
Yeah, to me, The Crow
whitewashing.
That was an awesome movie. Best soundtrack. Great. Great casting, great villains. The new Crow looks pretty bad, but we'll see.
Oh, what's up with Brandon Lee's white face, though, in his first version of it, though, man? Yeah.
What are you guys looking at me for?
Because you're supposed to be offended by this.
What, the new
You're
one?
Representing the whites.
Yeah. I was partially offended.
What else about tattoos?
Number 7, tattoos were outlawed in the Meiji period.
Meiji, when was the Meiji period,
Ben? Meiji period? Yeah.
It was before the Edo period.
It was quite recent.
At Meiji,
it was after the Edo period.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Meiji was about, 18-something, 1850 to 1904 or something like that.
Very close.
1868 to 1912.
There you go.
Just before or when the country opened up to the world, finally. After 200 years of self-isolation. So travelers were allowed to enter Japan and they could write accounts of the life they saw in Japan. And the Meiji government became afraid that certain actions and customs, including conspicuous tattoos, would make Westerners think of Japan as a backward nation.
Huh.
In response, decorative tattoos were banned in 1872.
Interesting.
Mm. It's kind of... changed a lot. It's almost gone the opposite way. Like almost
a lot of people.
Most people
tattoos.
Have tattoos. I was like, maybe not in Japan, but I'd
in
say
Australia,
in
you reckon 50% of maybe
I,
it's.
I would say even more.
Hasn't even gone beyond that though. Aren't a lot of people even getting rid of their tattoos now?
Oh, and now there's like it's like not cool to have a tattoo, or it's cooler not to have a tattoo.
Well, you got rid of that unicorn, didn't you, Ben?
He's still got it.
The pink one.
Still got it,
man. The tramp stamp.
Have you seen who was it? Patrick Swayze unicorn. Not unicorn, centaur. Patrick Swayze is a centaur tattoo.
No.
Check it out.
Was that a trend back in your day?
Who's Patrick Swayze for our listeners under 50?
Who's Bodie back in the original?
Legend.
Point Break.
Point Break. That was probably his best movie, I would say. My favorite Patrick Swayze movie was probably Point Break.
What about Dirty Dancing or Ghost?
Yeah, too easy, those ones.
Wait, was he in Young Guns or no?
Roadhouse.
Just Kiefer Sutherland? Oh, Roadhouse, hey.
The remake is coming out soon. With Conor McGregor.
Really?
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal's playing...
Gyllenhaal. Anyway, this is not voices in Patrick Swayze. This is...
Right. Okay. What else do we have?
The Wabori and Yobori. I was just waiting. Do we get to this? What is Wabori?
Wa would be overseas, isn't it?
The opposite.
Sorry. Wa would be Japanese, right? Japanese-style tattoos and Western-style tattoos.
Here you go.
Wabori are the Japanese-style tattoos characterized by intricate, colorful designs inspired by elements from Japanese history and mythology. and also the ukiyo-e paint or block prints that we were just talking about. Those also inspire a lot of the modern wabori tattoos, whereas yobori, things such as butterflies, skulls, hearts, names, and so on. That's the style. It's yeah, I guess.
I like tribal tattoos myself.
Mm.
But I know back in the day it was the Celtic tattoos were in, then the Chinese characters.
Chinese characters. Now I don't Arabic characters. Few years.
Yep.
Mm. Oh, speaking of which, did you hear? This is actually kind of interesting and appropriate. 70 years apparently. That's this has been going on, but they're going to change the rules for how Japanese words are written in English. You know, sometimes, for example, Shibuya is S-H-I-B-U-Y-A, but sometimes you just see it spelt S-I for Shibuya.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or the Tsu sound sometimes just spelled T-U.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, because the official rules, government rules for how Japanese words should be written in English, I can't remember, but it's a certain system, and not finally switching it to the system, the Hepburn system, or one of them is the Hepburn system, but the one that we're more familiar with, where the sh sound should be sh instead of just si. You know?
I've never seen an si sign.
It's not as common, I don't think, but I'm sure you've seen that. Tsu as just T-U and stuff.
And the lu, they always spell it with an R, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to be addressed, the L-R issue.
Japanese have a lot of problems with R's and L's, don't they?
Mm.
I always try and say Uluru, and that's a tough one.
But that was my important piece of news for today, was that call?
Thanks, good. What happened with those keys in that parking lot?
I turned them in, man.
Number nine,
hey, just joking,
people but... with tattoos are often not permitted in public bathing spaces, and this is due to the tattoo culture of the Yakuza, but many people in Japan still associate tattoos with them, and so a wide blanket way of avoiding Yakuza guests was by banning tattoos. So you'll see signs in onsen, sento, which are public baths, which says, if you have tattoos, you're not allowed in.
Yep. And there are some here and there spotted around the country.
Signs?
Yeah. No, or places where you can go with tattoos.
I would say most of them, again, a bit more relaxed, since COVID's been over.
Didn't somebody sue the onsen? Some foreign guy, he had a small tattoo or something, and... he sued the onsen because they wouldn't let him in, and he won.
What'd he win?
Check it out, Burke.
Oh, sorry, I was just looking at this. It's about 70 years to bring the official language transliteration system in line with everyday usage. The romanization system is going to change.
When's it going to change?
Pretty soon. Mm. Pretty soon. But yes, the... 1954 Kunde Shiki rules will be switched to the Hepburn system, which better reflects English pronunciations. Yeah. The Hepburn system is the one being used now, and that will be changed. But what was I supposed to look up? Something about the guy winning a tattoo case?
Sued an onsen, you were saying, Matt.
Mm. Yeah, Paul DeVries sees worrying precedent for Japan in 2002 landmark court ruling. I was denying entry to foreigners, sorry.
So it wasn't because he had a tattoo?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
So completely.
In 1999.
Because he was foreign.
He was denied because he was a foreigner.
Wow, so racism.
I think it depends on the region, right?
Foreigners often cause trouble, and as such, the regulars dislike sharing the facilities with them. That's pretty...
I've seen you in nonsense, Matt. I would say it's pretty
swimming and splashing,
whipping people with my towel.
I've seen
wedgies.
Not you do that, but I've seen a couple of my friends do that to each other. Yeah, I kind of avoided those. I went to nonsense a couple of weeks ago, and they had a sign that was like, you know, at the entrance, no tattoos. But as soon as I walked in, there was a dude there, Japanese gangster, covered in the Yakuza tattoos.
You should have dobbed him in, Ben.
I thought about it.
Where was this?
This was in an onsen in Noboribetsu. Yeah, oh. That I went to. Yeah, a couple of weekends ago. So it's quite. I wasn't that surprised because I see it quite often where I'll see some Yakuza guys. I guess they are, if they're wearing the full Japanese Yakuza style, they probably are Yakuza, right, in Japan?
Maybe.
Yeah. Especially if they're Japanese guys doing it. But
I hope you walked up to them and said, hey, no yaks.
Yeah, damn it. Damn it.
I think most people are kind of used to it and they don't, I don't know, it doesn't really.
I think it depends
people.
On the region, like Niseko, those areas, those onsens, you could probably get in with any kaiden tattoo, but to the countryside.
You know, I was thinking about that watching the Olympics when they're here. A lot of the athletes had tattoos, you know. Would they be denying, you know, like super famous skaters and that, oh, sorry, you're mafia, you know.
I think that's why they kind of started to relax, because when the Olympics were coming.
And I mean, at the end of the day, who cares, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it seems like some people might get offended by them. Some
would
old,
you bathe
some
with a
people.
Mafiosa?
I have. It was fine, yeah. He didn't try to kill me. Number 10, Japanese people rarely get kanji tattoos.
Ooh, yeah,
Chinese
I guess
Chinese
so.
Characters.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be like us getting tattoos with English written on it.
Strength.
Love your mum.
Yeah. Happy.
I guess Westerners do get kind
no,
of.
No, they do. They get,
yeah,
no,
sometimes.
They get tattoos with words.
Phrases.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, yeah, phrases for sure. But
buddy of mine's got creature written across his knuckles.
Creature.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Can you spell creature?
B-U-R-K-E-B-N. Done. That's what I'm going to get.
There you go.
And the last one, which Burke mentioned earlier, a medical license was required to be a tattoo artist until 2020. So, yeah.
So you had to go to medical school? Or you had to be a doctor? Is that what they're saying?
Just had to have a little medical license, which I don't know what's required to get a medical license, but.
Yeah, it says. This was because the ministry considered the act of tattooing as having the risk of harming health if not performed by a medical practitioner.
Well, everything's got to be, you know, clean. You know?
I guess that's the order license that was required. Maybe first aid, who knows. In 2017, Osaka-based tattoo artist Taiki Matsuda was found not guilty after he was accused of tattooing customers without a medical license. And this case was considered a driving force for the Japanese Supreme Court's decision to overturn the medical license requirement in 2020, citing that tattoos are a form of artistic impression and not a medical act. I think I'd rather have someone with a medical license, though, tattoo me than one that didn't have it, wouldn't you?
Because of the risk to health, for sure. Ben, what kind of tattoo would you get if you were going to get a tattoo? Would you get a wabori or yobori?
Well, kind of what Matt was talking about.
Unicorns.
pink My Little Pony. No, I would like a tribal tattoo, but I'd have to be a part of the tribe that I was getting a tattoo for.
You are part of the tribe, Ben. You're part of the Vidge tribe.
The Vidge tribe.
You should all get the same tattoos.
Or, you know, like, you know, if you join armed forces, like SAS, you get the SAS tattoo. That kind of tattoo where it means something, not just for show, right? So if someone sees it, they're like, okay, he's a part of this kind of, I guess, yeah, Yakuza is kind of that.
I guess
way.
So, yeah.
But
yeah.
Don't want to join a Yakuza.
Part of the club. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I would just go full body if I were going to go at this point. Matt, I wouldn't just do a little bit. Full body.
No anesthesia.
No anesthesia.
In one go.
In one go. Donate it afterwards.
Oh, God.
If you're going to do it.
Do it.
Do it right.
Yeah, that's right.
Do it right. Anyways,
If you want Burke's pelt at some point, let us know. Take his head as well.
$1 million tier in our Patreon.
That's right. Okay, when we are about that time, I hope you learned some new interesting facts about tattoos in Japan. And I think if you have one and you're coming to Japan, I think you'd be okay getting into an onsen. Don't worry about getting kicked out or banned. I think that doesn't really happen.
You always just play the foreign card, you know. Oh, sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah, that usually works. and pretend you don't understand Japanese. That might help. All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye. Bye.